Right now, it is time to bring in Arthur Schwartz, and it is time to talk about food. Arthur, of course, is the food maven and joins us here on a Monday morning. Good morning, Arthur.
Good morning, and I'll drink to that. I have booze on my mind because, you know, I just came back from New Orleans.
Yeah.
A lot of people go to New Orleans just to drink on the street. So it's allowed, but the concentration is Bourbon Street, which could be aptly named, may I say, even though bourbon is not the booze of New Orleans. Rye is, because the drink of the city is called a Sazerac. Have you heard of a Sazerac?
No.
No. Good. So I can explain.
Yes.
It's a cocktail invented at Sazerac House, which still exists, but this, everywhere they make Sazerets. It's rye whiskey. This is, by the way, something that is familiar about both New York and New Orleans. Although New York has again become a rye town, but it was when I was a boy. In the middle there was other stuff. And bourbon is not a drink of New York, and apparently bourbon is not a drink of New Orleans. It's rye. So rye whiskey, it's a complicated cocktail, actually. It includes two ingredients that are very hard to come by in New York, unless you order them online, one of which I did. So one is a liqueur, I guess you'd call it, it's 100 proof, called Herb Saint. H-E-R-B-S-A-I-N-T, one word. And Herb Saint is a substitute for absinthe. Originally, the drink was made with absinthe. Now, absinthe is back. I'm not sure if they took out the wormwood that was supposedly so injurious, but it's out there. So a Sazerac, you barely coat the glass with Herb Saint. A highball glass. I'm sorry, an old-fashioned glass, I should say, a short glass. And I read one recipe where they tell you to put the Herb Saint in an atomizer and just atomize the inside of the glass. But I watched bartenders do this while I was in New Orleans. And usually they just put a few drops of the Herb Saint in the glass, swish it around, and pour out the excess. So there's a little waste involved, and it's not a expensive item. I did find the last bottle in Brooklyn. I didn't buy it while I was there, even though I intended to. I say the last bottle in Brooklyn because I called my go-to store, Heights Chateau, which is the best wine store. And if you're looking for in Brooklyn, and if you're looking for something special, they'll probably have it. And so I called, and they said, but we only have one bottle. Should we reserve it for you? And they were kind enough to put it aside until I got there. Anyway, so you rinse the glass, essentially, with Herb Saint, and then goes in ice, about an ounce and a half of rye whiskey, about either, you know, the small, cute, real cube sugar cubes or the flat rectangular one of those or two of the little ones. There are some recipes that actually have you put the Herb Saint on the sugar, but others just use simple syrup and a few drops of simple syrup, and that's and the other essential ingredient is Pernod's apostrophe S P E R Pernod. Should I spell it? Let's give my brain a second here. It's not such an easy Pernod. By the way, was a pharmacist. Who came up with this? I'm not Perno. What am I saying? Peychaud. P E Y. No wonder I couldn't spell it. P E Y C H A U D apostrophe S. Peychaud's bitters. To me, they're red, by the way. And a sign of a good Sazerac is that it is reddish. And I had one that was more brownish than reddish. And the guy that I was sitting with, who act as a local, and a knowledgeable local, said, it's not red enough, not enough Peychaud. Maybe they're cheating by using Angostura bitters. And in fact, I don't mind half Angostura, half Peychaud's bitters. I've had those Sazeracs. And you'll see a recipe around probably with both. So that's my new drink, except that I don't have my Peychaud bitters. Must be, I'm trying to figure this out exactly, but I'm thinking 25-year-old bottle. Now, does it change? I think it does. I think this is not the way it's supposed to taste. So I'm waiting for a delivery. I bought it online of Peychaud's bitters, a fresh bottle, and we'll see. But it is an aromatic bitters, very aromatic, I think more so than most of the contemporary bitters that I see. Angostura and Peychaud's used to be all the only bitters you could get, but you couldn't get Peychaud's in New York. So I remember, this brought up a memory for me, that's why I'm dating this bottle to 25 years ago, I had Emeril Lagasse on my radio program, and knowing he was coming and knowing what a nice man he is, I called him and said, could you bring me a bottle of Peychaud's bitters? I'm having trouble finding it in New York. So he not only brought me a bottle, he brought me a case of Peychaud's bitters. And I distributed most of it to friends, because how much can you use after all? You only put a few drops in anything. I did take at one point as my go-to diet drink, seltzer with Peychaud's bitters. As little or as much as you want, and I'm sure that most of this bottle got used that way. So I await. I'm supposed to get my delivery tomorrow or Wednesday, and I'll report next week on my secure formula. Meantime, you know, I came home wanting more New Orleans food. So that it's a great eating city, and we ate some great meals. If you asked me to make recommendations, I would. Three places. There's a section of the city called the Marigny, M-A-R-I-G-N. You know, it's French, Marigny, with a Y. So the Marigny is a gentrifying section, old section, next to the French Quarter and on the right on the Mississippi River. We thought that we were going to be caught in a flood, actually. It was a torrential rain when we went to the Marigny, and the streets really flood up very quickly. A little scary, but there was a brand new levee across the street from the restaurant. It's called Elizabeth's in the Marigny, and Marigny is sort of your artsy-fartsy young people neighborhood, and this place, I did not see artsy-fartsy clientele is interesting. It was New Orleans is a very diverse city, and there was an old black guy in the corner eating alone. There was an old white guy sitting in another corner eating alone. When you see older people who are local eating in a local restaurant that really is more meant for 30-somethings, you know it, the food is really good. And this place actually is chef-owned. He's a culinary school graduate. I'll think of the name.
You said it's called Elizabeth's?
In any case, I highly recommend Elizabeth's. I wish we had eaten everything on the menu, because we didn't, because we were going on to two other places. But in the end, we only went on to one other place, and I could have eaten more at Elizabeth's. One of the highlights for me, besides the red beans and rice, sort of everywhere you go is terrific. But it was most terrific at Elizabeth's, served with a big grilled andouille sausage in the bowl, a meal unto itself. And in fact, the first thing I had to cook when I got home was red beans and rice with sausage. And by the way, you can also use other meats to flavor the beans, like something called tasso ham, not available in my Brooklyn markets, but two different brands of Creole-style andouille sausage are available. One of them is made by D'Artagnan. They're both, by the way, nationally distributed brands. So I don't know where in the northwest corner you find this, but you're going to find it. Bruce Adels, A-I-D-E-L-L, apostrophe S. Bruce has a whole line of sausages, all kinds of flavors and seasonings and meats and that. And he has a very good and spicy Cajun sausage or Creole sausage. And the other one is D'Artagnan, the duck people. We always think of them as the duck people, but Ariane Degan, the owner of D'Artagnan Foods, has expanded to every which animal, including sausage of all kinds. In fact, she has a ham. I say she. Ariane Degan is I know for many, many years, since she was a teenager, truthfully, in France. And she makes a less spicy, but I would say no less delicious. They're both smoked sausages.
Which one did you?
Both made with pork, no turkey. And, you know, they're what I always call, using a Yiddish expression, hoo-ha meat, meaning they're no artificial ingredients. They're raised with no antibiotics. The animals are raised with no antibiotics. Sometimes they're vegetarian fed, blah, blah. All these good things.
Arthur.
And they're not hideously expensive.
All right, so I'm looking
red at... beans and, for making red beans and rice, I consulted at least a dozen sources, and I thought the most simple and probably original-ish red beans and rice was made by Emeril Lagasse in his cookbook of traditional Louisiana food. So, by the way, Emeril is much beloved in New Orleans, I found out. He has more than one restaurant. The one that I was intending to get to but didn't is called Emeril's Delmonico. Anyway, and it's at the edge of the Garden District. It's a very nice neighborhood, and it's close to downtown hotels. It's not that close to the French Quarter. So I just I read a lot of recipes, and the one thing I came up with was that kidney beans are not the traditional bean, although it looked to me and tasted to me like a lot of kidney beans and red beans and rice in New Orleans. But what's called small, round, red beans. And I found them in my supermarket, no problem, $1.89 a pound, nothing special, Goya brand, dried beans. I soaked them overnight, and the next day I simmered them with two links of Bruce Adell's spicy Cajun sausage. She calls it Cajun-style andouille. Andouille is the word they use in New Orleans for these kind of sausage. And what else? And three large bay leaves and vegetables that I first sweat, meaning I took a basic, let's see, was it a cup and a quarter of onion, finely minced, a cup and a quarter of green pepper, finely minced, and three quarters of a cup of finely minced celery. And I put those in a pan with two tablespoons of oil, not olive oil, neutral oil. And I get them going until they're sizzling a little bit, cover the pot, lower the heat, let them steam covered for 15 minutes, stirring every once in a while. And then pour in your beans with the same water that you soaked them in. You're going to see the water is red. You don't want to give up that red, and you don't want to give up the vitamins, minerals, whatever, has leached into the water. I don't throw out soaking water anymore. Well, not for 30 years at least, until Diana Kennedy, the high priestess, the empress of Mexican cooking, scolded me. I mean, she's a harsh woman. She actually scolded me in public for throwing out bean water and wasting all that nutrition, which, of course, in Mexico, in poor Mexico, they know better. So three bay leaves, the vegetables, no other herb. However, there are some recipes that call for either savory or thyme. Thyme is way easier to find, and you can use dry thyme. And I think that might be a nice note. Hot pepper is not necessary if you don't want it super spicy, because at least if you use Bruce Adell's sausage, they give a lot of spicy flavor. And by the way, at the end, after this is cooked for, simmered for an hour, mine took only about an hour and 20 minutes. It depends on the age of your beans. I'm sure that the store I bought them in has good turnover on Goya, and I'm finding that Goya beans, because they're mostly fresh harvest, or most recent harvest, cook up pretty fast. So an hour and 15 minutes, an hour and a half, they should be really tender and creamy at that point. Now, here's my mistake. I pureed too much of the soup. I used my immersion blender, and you're supposed to, or at least I should say most recipes call for you taking at least a cup of the beans and pureeing them and put them back into the pot. So this is to thicken up the juices. But I overdid it. Next time, and there will be a next time, the next time I'm definitely going to do fewer beans and make it a little soupier. It's okay. You put rice in the bowl. So you put that in a bowl. You put a piece of sausage, unless you've sliced it up, in the bowl, and a big scoop of rice, and that's dinner. That's actually, with 1 pound of beans, you've got dinner for, I would say, at least 4 people, if not 6.
So quick question.
$1.89 for the beans. What?
I said quick question about... Adele's, because obviously they've got all sorts of. I was able to look at that on whether you know they've been around for a while.
Yeah,
he's got all sorts of wild. He's got all sorts of interesting combinations, but
some of them are too interesting for my taste.
I would agree.
but you know they sell, and he does make some other very good. Some products that I like this Cajun style andouille is terrific.
And so that's I just wanted to ask you, stick with that rather than the, shall we say, more interesting ones for this particular recipe. Yes.
Yes, you want the Cajun taste. You want the taste of these seasonings that he puts in. This is your main flavoring. You got a lot of vegetables in there, but no, you don't want chicken apple sausage in your red beans and rice. However. Big however, Polish kielbasa is very good. And you can buy the turkey pork blend Polish kielbasa. It is very good, slightly smoked. And I would say that more than once, I ate red beans and rice every day for a week. More than once, I said, oh, this sausage tastes a lot like kielbasa. I never know if it's kielbasa or kielbasa.
We had that conversation. What if you don't eat
Nobody's
pork?
Nobody's corrected me yet.
No, because
so
it's
here
both.
Is a big mystery in New Orleans. We were sitting in a restaurant that I highly, highly recommend called Peche, P-E-C-H-E. Peche is 2 blocks from the World War II Museum, which everybody tells you have to see. And I was totally, I'm not sure I want to relive the war, not that I lived it, but I'm close enough to it that I know a lot about it. But we decided. Peche was 2 blocks away, and I wanted to go there and the museum. So we get to the museum at 11, and we spent 2 hours, and we only had touched the surface. So we go to lunch, have a fabulous lunch at Peche, and come back for another 2 or 3 hours. The museum is in several buildings. It's very audiovisual because that's the way young people absorb information these days, and I thought it was really smartly done. I'm embarrassed to say the highlight for me was the tribute to Bob Hope, which had costumes and a lot of video of Bob Hope and his troop entertaining the troops. So there were videos on every battle. So it was a fascinating museum, extremely well done, and engaging young people, which is interesting. You know, it's a good thing because what do they know about the war? They never learn. So anyway, at Peche, we're sitting. This is a very stylish, newish restaurant, and seated at the next table is a young couple. They work and live in Washington, D.C. How do we know this is? I looked over at their potatoes, and I said to Bob, we got to order those. And they leaned over and said, you want to try some? There's too much here for us anyway. There's something you see everywhere in New Orleans called a bra Brabant potatoes, B-R-A-B-A-N-T, Brabant potatoes. And there's some, the only thing I could seem that that was the same in all of them was they were all cut into cubes. But after a little research, I discovered that the real ones are the ones they're serving at Pesh, which are large cubes of potato, first boiled and then fried. So inside they're super creamy, outside they're super crisp, and at Pesh they serve it on a plate lined with aioli. So you're sort of dipping your potato, and they're well salted, totally addictive. I haven't made Brabant potatoes yet because I can't afford the calories of fried potatoes.
How do you make them?
Too much of and eat them all. What?
How do you make them?
I'm going to cut them. I'm going to take baking potatoes, meaning
russets.
The long Idaho russets, and I'm peeling them and cut them into, I would say, one-inch cubes, boil them until they're tender, which should take no more than, like, 7 or 8 minutes, I think. I start them in cold water, usually potatoes, but you can start them in hot water.
Do you soak?
Boiling water. And then drain them well. And then when I'm ready to eat them, I haven't decided if I'm going to deep fry, which probably is the most efficient way to do it, and probably the way they were doing it at Pesh, or skillet fry, which I could, you know, with a deep enough. I do a deep frying in skillets anyway sometimes. So I don't know. They're gonna fry in neutral oil, and then be well salted. I think. I don't know if I'm going to make a garlic mayonnaise, otherwise known as aioli, but theirs is particularly good. So anyway, there's more on New Orleans because I'm fixated. Next week, we'll talk remoulade.
Okay. So we'll get recipes off this, which is I was going to say, what things
well,
are
I gave you a red bean recipe.
I understand. Of course, it had beans in it, but never mind.
Pardon me?
I said it had beans in it for everybody else.
Yeah, this show is not just for you, Jill.
It isn't?
No.
After all these years? What a mistake.
No.
But I just...
You think you're Trump, an audience of one? I'm not doing for an audience of one.
I was curious about whether you were going to work on the étouffée.
Let me just say, étouffée, you can't do.
Okay.
Unless you're there. Crayfish, because you can't get the crayfish.
Right,
and if you got the crayfish, they'd be too old by the time they got here. I'm thinking, unless you're willing to pay $1 zillion a pound and fly them in.
You can't go up to New York.
So
you can't go to the Bronx.
And also, I actually have made a remoulade, one of several that I'm going to try. A remoulade sauce I just made yesterday, and we had it on fish, not on shrimp, because that's a hard thing to get good too. So I think I prefer to eat it on cold. Steamed fish. It's a very good mayonnaise kind of sauce, you know.
Right.
So anyway, nothing that you can't make here, you know. I mean, there's certain things you have to eat in place.
Right.
There's certain things you would not want to eat in place. I keep saying the worst food in New Orleans is the bread. And we actually have a place here in Brooklyn that's importing the bread for poor boys. And I'm wondering, why are they doing that?
But you are the one who basically said, if you want to cook like your grandmother, use the keep your spices right by the use old spice. However, you said that
in particular the ground white pepper.
Right. So that's.
yes, you're right. You have to keep the store it by the next to the stove at least for 10 years before you use it all up.
I understand.
Yeah.
I do. I do it myself. But summer save.
I think we're out of time. Not that I want to leave.
Oh no, you've got about 3 minutes left.
Do I really? That means my clock is super slow.
Sorry about
that. I thought about this. Because people go to New Orleans not to collect recipes. I do. But the three restaurants that I recommend are Pesh, which is has local seafood prepared simply if you want it, prepared with a little stylish pizzazz if you want it. Elizabeth's in the Marigny, which is chef-done local food, but local, great red beans and rice. And in the Marigny, for music, there's a street called Frenchman Street. Bourbon Street has the worst music. I walked up and down it a couple times. It's horrible. and the people are horrible. They're all drunk. Frenchman Street, don't go on a weekend, but that's where the locals goes. And I discovered only by accident, even though I had recommendations for other places, a place called the Marigny Brasserie. And I discovered it only because the music was so good, I had to go in and listen. And then we thought, well, we might as well eat here, too. They do have food. And they couldn't have been nicer. Seated us right by the band until we got a table to eat at. And then they came over and said, well, if you like it here, we'll serve you here. Who wouldn't want to be served there? Anyway, music was great. becoming a bartender here. You know, when you watch the news at night, you need a drink.
You need more than one.
You need to start at the day. Start early.
I allow myself.
Hey, vote early, vote often.
All right.
Yes, okay. Everybody, go out and vote.
That's right. Vote often. That's right.
Who was that? That was Huey Long. Vote early, vote often.
That's right. All right.
Speaking of New Orleans.
All right.
All right.
We'll speak to you next week, Arthur.
Take care. Everybody have a great week. Keep calm.
Arthur, go read all the King's Men. Go read all the King's Men.
No, that will only upset me more.
I understand. Okay.
Yeah. No, I'll tell you something that carries you away. A Star Is Born. I ran to see it as soon as I got home, and it's a superb movie that really will take you to someplace other than the moment.
All right.
Which is what movies are for, I think.
Exactly.
All right.
All right.
Take care.
Take care. That is Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, this morning here on The Breakfast Club.
Underwriting support for Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, from Hathaway Young, located on South Center Street in Millerton. Flawless catering and event planning, HathawayYoung.com. John Andrews Restaurant on the Hillsdale Road in South Egremont, 413-528-3467. On the web, JARestaurant.com. Rubiner's Cheesemongers and Grocers on Main Street in Great Barrington, 413-528-0488, Rubiner's.com. In Hillsdale, New York, Hillsdale Home Chef with two beautiful teaching classes, and they've got classes to go in those cooking rooms. More information, 518-325-7000, hghshomechef.com. And Haven Cafe in Lenox, Massachusetts, offering quality food and excellent service. From a fresh cup of great coffee to healthy, delicious breakfast, or sit down with a dinner with a tasty, life-enhancing meal that you can take home. Also, they feature catering. Supporting local organic farmers, environmentally conscious, and epicurious distributors, havencafebakery.com.